Take your Bibles tonight. We're back in Luke chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 35 tonight. You remember last week we talked, one of the verses that we studied from chapter 12 was Jesus saying, hey, look, don't worry about the things of the world. You seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things that you need, I'll take care of. I know what you need. Your Father knows what you need. And you don't have to worry about it. You take care of our business. We'll take care of your business. And the business of God, seeking the kingdom of God, as I mentioned last week, is doing the same thing that Jesus did while he was here on earth, is seeking those men that need him and bringing them to him, leading them to the Savior, telling them about Jesus, witnessing to him, however you want to say it. That's what Jesus was talking about. You get busy doing that, and you don't have to worry about the daily necessities of life. I'll take care of that. Talking about that responsibility points to the time of his return. And there's two thoughts that take up the rest of chapter 12. We're not going to get to verse 59 tonight. I think it goes down to verse 59. We're not going to get through verse 59, but we'll get most of the way there. But there's two thoughts that take up the rest of the chapter. First of all, it's the duty of the Christians to be watchful and faithful in their responsibilities to share Christ. Again, Jesus had just told them, you do that and I'll take care of everything else that you need. But as we look for his return, Jesus makes a point that, hey, you need to be faithful in carrying out the responsibilities that we've given you. And then the second thought, of course, is for the unsaved, that before Jesus comes back, they need to receive him. They need to get saved. So we start tonight in verse 35, where the Bible says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. So Jesus is talking about in this verse about working. The Jews in his day wore long clothes. And when they wanted to move in a hurry, when they wanted to travel in a hurry, or when they wanted to work in order to get the long flowing clothes out of the way, they would gird them up around their waist and fasten them with a girdle. And so when Jesus is saying, gird up your loins, he's saying, hey, get to work. When you hitch up your clothes, you're getting ready to work. I want you to get ready to work. And then he says, and your light's burning. It paints a picture of a house at night where the lights are burning, which suggests that the servants haven't gone to bed yet. That they're working into the night to perform their duties. And so what he's saying is, after he, again, just told them, you seek ye first the kingdom of God, you go ahead, you get out there and you tell people about me, he says, he's saying, get to work, stay at work, get ready to work. Then he says in verse 36, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that may open unto him immediately. So when he says ye yourself, he's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to the people that are unbelievers that are still concerned about the things of the world. He's talking to people that hopefully are not worrying about the things of the world, are seeking the kingdom of God, seeking other men for the kingdom. And so he says, you be like servants whose Lord or master, and the word servant means slaves, you be like them whose master or Lord has gone to a wedding and comes home and they're watching for him so that when he knocks on the door to get in, the doors open immediately. Now, the only way the servants can open the door immediately at the first knock is to be watching for their master to return. And so Jesus said, I want you to be watching for my return that way. I want you to be ever watchful. So, and again, we won't need to open the door for him. He'll come in all his power and his glory. But he says, I want you to be watchful for me. There's going to be too many Christians that will be surprised when Jesus comes back because they're not watching. They're not waiting. They're not looking for his return. And we'll talk some more about that in just a minute. Now, so those two verses to sort of set the stage. I want you to get to work. I want you to be watchful for my return. Now he's going to tell two parables. He's going to tell a parable about a faithful servant and an unfaithful servant. He's going to tell a parable about a servant that's watching and a servant that's not watching. He's going to tell a story about a servant that's prepared and a servant that is unprepared. And he's going to contrast the two. And he's going to say their preparedness or lack of preparedness talks about their character, which reflects the relationship that they have with me. Okay? So in verse 37, he starts talking about the faithful servants. And he says, blessed. Now, that's the same word that Jesus used in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. It's a word that means happy, but more than the happiness that we think about. The happiness that we often think about is happiness that results from circumstances. So if everything in my life is going well, I'm happy. If everything in my life is not going well, I'm unhappy. That's not the happiness that Jesus is talking about when he uses the word blessed. It's happiness that comes from God. It's happiness that comes from knowing that your relationship with God is right. It's happiness that comes from knowing that you're serving God and doing what God wants you to do. And so Jesus says, blessed are those servants, those slaves, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. In other words, they're waiting for him to return. They're watching for him to return. They're busy while they're waiting and they're watching. And Jesus says, those are going to be servants that are going to be blessed. They're going to be happy in the Lord because they're doing what they are supposed to do. And when the Lord comes back, they're going to be rewarded. Notice the last part of that verse. Verily I say unto you that he, the Lord, shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Jesus said, my servants who are waiting and watching and working, looking for my return, they're going to be blessed. They're going to be happy in me because, and he tells this story, when the Lord comes back, the roles are going to be reversed. Instead of the servants serving the Lord is going to serve the servants. And again, he's talking about the rewards that come from living the Christian life and fulfilling the responsibilities that God has given us while he's away. God has given us until he comes back. He says, look, you be about the business and you're going to be blessed. You're going to be happy in the Lord. You're going to be rewarded for your labor. Of course, that verse of the Lord serving the servants reminds us of what Jesus did at the last Passover supper that he had with his disciples. None of the other disciples, usually when you came into a feast like that, they had a slave or a servant come in and wash your feet. Well, I guess when Peter and John prepared the supper, they forgot that detail. They didn't have anybody there to wash their feet. None of them wanted to volunteer. And so Jesus, as we read in the book of John, got up, girded himself with a towel, got a basin of water, and began to wash the disciples' feet. He was their Lord. He was their master. And yet he served them by washing their feet. Verse 38, and if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch, in other words, late at night or early in the morning, and find them so, find them still watching, find them still waiting, find them still working through the day, into the night, into the early morning, blessed are those servants. Happy in the Lord are those servants. Verse 39, and this know, that if the goodman of the house had known, the master of the house, had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. And so Jesus changes the story a little bit. Now, instead of talking about a Lord and servants, he's talking about a Lord of the house, the master of the house, and a thief. And his point is, it's a point that everybody understood. If the owner of a house knows when a thief is about to break into the house, they'll watch. They'll have their shotgun ready. They'll have their Doberman pincher ready. They'll have the alarm set. And when the thief tries to break in, I remember the story about the Quaker. You know, Quakers are very nonviolent. And this Quaker late one night caught somebody about to break into his house. And so he had a shotgun pointed at this would-be robber. And he said this, "Methinks I'm about to shoot where you are standing." In other words, if you want to escape with your life, you better leave. Well, if somebody knows that, you know, that a thief is coming and they know the time, you'll be ready for them. You'll have your deterrence all set. But Jesus' point is, masters of the house don't know when the thieves are coming. They come when you don't expect them to come. If they knew what time, they would be watchful and they would be faithful. But Jesus says, just like the master of a house doesn't know when a thief is coming, you do not know when I am coming. And just like the master of the house, if he doesn't want to be robbed, needs to be watchful all the time, so you too need to be watchful all the time. You see, if we knew when Jesus was coming, we wouldn't be watchful until the time approached. I mean, if somehow God revealed to us, and he's not going to do this, I mean, it tells us over in the Bible, over and over in the Bible, that nobody knows the time. But let's just say, for example, tonight, to make a point, that we got divine revelation from God that Jesus was coming back in the year 2020, November of 2020, 4 years from now. Now, you might say, well, we'd get to work immediately. We know that he's coming back in 4 years. We only got 4 years. No, I'll tell you what most people would do. Most people, by nature, put things off to the last minute. I heard one guy say one time, he said, "I always put things off to the last minute." And I asked him why. He said, "Well, I might die before I have to do it, and then I do it, and then I'll die before I have to do it, and why should I do it if I don't have to do it?" I said, "You're crazy." But anyhow, most people put things off. And so here's what most Christians would say if we had a divine revelation that Jesus was coming in November of 2020. Well, I got 4 years. I'll wait till it gets a little bit closer. I'll wait till, you know, the pressure starts to build. And we get closer to November of 2020. I got plenty of time. I got 4 years. It's not I get 4 years, but I got 4 years. And we put it off until the time gets closer. But we don't know. We're not going to get that divine revelation. God's not going to tell anybody. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. It could be tomorrow. And so if you're going to tell somebody about Jesus before he comes back, you better do it today. You better get at it. We need to be watchful every day. Verse 40, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." What Jesus is saying, you better keep on being ready. You better keep on being watchful, because if you don't think he's coming, that's when he's coming. That's what that last phrase means. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. When we get comfortable and say, well, Jesus is not coming today, he's not coming tomorrow, he's not coming this week, he's not coming this year, that may be the very time he decides to come. Because nobody knows. He's going to come. He could come at any time. And again, what we're going to do for God, if we're going to do anything for God before he comes back, we need to do it now. Verse 41, "Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all?" So again, Jesus was talking to his disciples, but there were other people around listening. And so Peter asked the question. He said, "Lord, are you talking just to us? About being watchful, about being faithful, about working? Or are you talking to everybody here?" And Jesus, instead of answering him directly, asked Peter a question. He says in verse 42, "And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season?" So, Jesus has changed the story again. Now he's going to start talking about the unfaithful servant now, the unprepared, the not watching servant. But he's changing the story a little bit, because now he's talking about a steward. A steward is a slave who has been promoted to be the manager of the household. And so in addition to the duties that he had as slave, now he's got more. He manages a part of the household. He manages some of the other slaves. He's responsible to take care of some of the other slaves, to feed them, to make sure that they get about their duties. And so Jesus said, Peter, let me answer your question. I'm going to answer it with another question. Who's a faithful steward? I'm going to tell you about one that's not so faithful. Verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. In other words, blessed again, that servant will be blessed, happy in the Lord, if he comes back and finds the steward, the one that's been entrusted to manage part of the household, managing the household, doing what he's supposed to do, taking care of the other servants, making sure they're doing what they're supposed to do. Of a truth, verse 44, of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. And so if a master takes one of his slaves and makes him a steward, puts him over a part of his household, and that steward is faithful in carrying out his duties. In other words, he doesn't slack off. He takes care of the other servants. He directs the other servants. Jesus says that servant, that steward, is going to be blessed, happy in the Lord, and will be rewarded because the master will put everything that he has under his control. He'll put everything that he has under his management, sort of like Joseph. when Joseph went to work for Potiphar, Potiphar didn't turn over his whole household at once. He first looked at how Joseph operated as a slave. That's what he was, a slave. And then he gave Joseph a little bit more responsibility. He said, hey, I've got these two other servants. I want you to be over them. Take care of them. You direct them. And he watched how Joseph did that and was pleased with how Joseph did that. And by the time we come to the almost the end of the story, before Potiphar's wife comes after Joseph, the Bible says that Joseph is managing everything in Potiphar's house. In fact, the Bible says that Potiphar didn't even know what he had anymore because he completely turned it over to Joseph to take care of it. And that's the what Jesus is saying here. Look, if a lord or a master turns over part of his household to a slave and finds that that slave is faithful, that steward is faithful, pretty soon he'll be managing the whole household. He'll be managing the whole house. But in 45, but and if. Now notice those two words, but and if. That servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. But and if the steward says, well, master's not coming back right away. Master has delayed his return. And instead of taking care of the fellow servants that are under his charge, begins to not feed them and beat them, and to eat and drink to the point that he is drunk. Notice what Jesus says, verse 46, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. Now, if he was looking for him, he'd sober up. If he was looking for him, he'd be taking care of the other servants in the household like he's supposed to. But he's not looking for him to come back. And so he thinks he can get away with what he's doing. So the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now, cut him in sunder means to cut him in two. I don't know if Jesus was talking literally there or just talking about the punishment that's going to come to those folks who have been given responsibility and have not carried out that responsibility. In fact, have acted just the opposite of a way that a steward should be acting, taking advantage of the other servants, being self-indulgent for himself. Verse 47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Jesus said, now, again, he was telling something that everybody knew about, a familiar story, a parable. He said, if a servant knows what his Lord wants him to do and doesn't prepare and doesn't do it, when the Lord comes back, when the master comes back, he's going to be beaten with many stripes. Notice verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So, go back to but and if. But and if the master, or the servant, the steward, thinks the master has delayed his coming. Jesus says in verse 46, the Lord of that servant will come. It's not an if, it's not a but. That master will come. And that servant that has not been doing what he's supposed to do, taking advantage of the other servants, indulging himself, will be punished. And he'll be punished more because of the responsibility that he was given, and he'll be punished more because he knew what his master wanted him to do. Now, if there's another servant that's slacking off as well, but didn't have the responsibility that the steward has, he's also going to be punished, but he won't be punished as much. Some people read these verses and think there's going to be degrees of punishment in hell. And I don't know. I haven't really studied that. I don't know if there is or not. I've always thought going to hell, if you're apart from Jesus, it can't get any worse. But some people think that there's going to be degrees of punishment in hell. They believe that people that have heard a clear presentation of the gospel and have rejected Christ in hell are going to be punished more than somebody that never heard the gospel. And again, some people say, well, if somebody's never heard the gospel, is Jesus going to send them to, is God going to send them to hell? And the answer to that is yes. I mean, if they don't receive Christ, they're going to hell. In the book of Romans, we studied it in chapters 1 through 3. The Jews had the law. The Gentiles had nature. They had their conscience that spoke to them about God. And the Jews may have more punishment because they had more knowledge, but the Gentiles are going to hell as well. Somebody asked Spurgeon, the preacher of over in London, who preached a lot in the United States, Charles Spurgeon. They said, Dr. Spurgeon, do you think that if we don't tell somebody about Christ, that God will spare them and not send them to hell because nobody told them about Christ? And here's what Spurgeon said. He says, here's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about if we are really Christians and don't tell them. If we are really Christians, why would you even ask that question? Why would you ask the question, well, if I don't tell my neighbor, will God spare him and not send him to hell because nobody told him about Jesus? Spurgeon said, you need to worry about your own salvation. Why would you be a Christian and not tell your neighbor? Why would you be a Christian and not tell the person you work with? Why would you be a Christian and not tell other members of your family? Bible's pretty clear that all those that don't receive Christ, I mean, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. There's no clause of escape because they've never heard. I can't find it. I've read the Bible many times. I don't find any escape for those that have never heard. And so, again, I agree with Spurgeon. We better look at our own salvation. If we have people that we're not telling because we don't want to condemn them to hell, we need to be busy telling them. All right, I think we'll stop there tonight. I wanted to go a little bit further, but we'll stop there, and then we'll start in verse 49 next week. Thank you for being here, and the men will be praying. The ladies will be praying tonight. If you'd like to join them after the service, feel free to do that. But let's stand, and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.